This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Okay. All right. So I'm hoping that there can be a meeting with the city and with Thomas and the contractor to talk about American Iron and Steel and what we are expecting as far as that's concerned. If possible, it would be great to include Thomas on the visit to the site on Cairo Lane so that he can get a feel for what's going on there.
I'm not sure what the issue is, but we're getting a lot of feedback on the company as well, and a whole lot of interference. So you said you want to be aware of the fact that the contractor meets with the city, and that you are somehow getting feedback about that meeting?
Hopefully, Thomas Montgomery will be able to join Mr. Rollison on that site visit so that he can participate in that on Thursday. I wasn't sure if anybody from Miami-Dade County would be tagging along on that visit or not, but maybe somebody there would know. It might be a good idea to invite somebody.
Do you know anybody from the county that invited Mr. Austin?
Right now, we only have the contractor scheduled to meet after we meet in Cairo Lane for the immediate emergency plan, and we will be meeting with them for the American Iron Worker with our attorney to see how we could then satisfy their request. I will reach out to the county to see if they could provide someone to be there as well.
Thank you. Anything else, Angela?
Nope, that's all I had.
Mobile video, data, device, costing, plan, email.
We've actually provided the information previously. Nothing has changed with respect to previous reduction in our services. We've terminated, or as Nelson just indicated, we are actually terminating the contract for Wi-Fi here at Shirbundi. We have deleted and suspended over 70 mobile devices that we found not to be necessary within the city, and we've also terminated or are in the process of terminating one of our communication agreements, I believe with EXO Communications, that is in the process. I think it's a 60-day or so notice of termination, and so that won't be realized until October 1 or the end of October. Having said that, we as in Nelson and myself are continuing to look through for, wait, Nelson, Google, and myself, are continuing to look through and review how we're currently using our internet to determine whether or not there is a cost saving that we can realize. And also, we are also looking at the necessity of mobile devices for the individuals who currently have them. I think we're pretty much at the point where we have identified all the necessary mobile devices and have cut out all of the extras. But we actually have a meeting to go through the current list once again to make sure that we've identified everyone who we could possibly identify as being unnecessary in terms of having a mobile device that is stable at the city. I just discussed the Wi-Fi in conjunction with the mobile device cost saving plan. Overtime expense projection. It depends on how you view overtime. If overtime is as it's normally used, which is over 40 hours, then most of our employees don't risk the overtime possibility, with the exception of finance. We talked a little bit about the staffing reduction plan, and I need to get more information on what is asked of me with respect to the projected salaries. What are you looking for specifically?
Some sense of what the projected salaries are for next year. Not for individuals, but the salary range itself for the budget.
Okay. With respect to salaries, they pretty much, a lot of them changed. I know that the chief has reduced some of his salaries on side with some other things he's making his staff. But with respect to salaries, pretty much a status quo as far as salaries are there's pretty much a status quo as far as the salaries are concerned. There have been additions, for example, in finance and in the manager's office for salaries that had previously not been there before. For example, when we first did the budget, there was no plan for an assistant city manager or an assistant finance director. And based on where we see the city, it's impossible, basically, to effectively operate out those two positions, and so we actually put those positions back into the budget. There are some positions that we reduce the salaries, and there are a couple of positions where we actually slightly increase the salaries for individuals who will be coming in, because one of the issues that we've had as a city historically has been that we, what do they say, we have a champagne budget with champagne food to the beer budget. We want the best of the best and the cream of the crop in terms of individuals who are able, capable, and competent, yet we have not always thought to pay them what would be market rate for those talents. So in light of the fact that we recognize where we are financially, we're also trying to be mindful to be able to attract talent with comparable market rate salaries. Update on the credit card statement. The credit cards have not been used since they were asked to return more than a month ago, but we have not made a payment, I don't believe, to Visa actually in 2 months. And so that is one of the non-critical amounts that probably needs to be placed on the AP list, so that we can make sure that we get those paid. And as it stands now, we are incurring late charges on those credit cards as well as the interest payments. With respect to the fuel usage, I'm very proud of my IT department and my public works director. They have developed a process by which the keys have been, is it called reinitial? They reinitialized or something? Okay. They did something with the computer. And what happens is the keys are now, have been programmed to where it only allows for a certain amount of gasoline to be, fueled for a certain vehicle. And it's once a week. And anything beyond that, they would have to either get special permission for, either by myself or by Mr. Austin. So, and in addition to that, we actually asked for various keys in the city. There were individuals who had several keys for reasons that I don't know. There were individuals who had several keys assigned to them. And so that has all been reconciled and taken care of, and now all of the keys have been reissued to where there is the keys the individual holds is only to fuel the vehicle that they are responsible for, and there is a limit to how much that individual how much fuel that individual can receive per week. And so, in addition to the camera to monitor the ins and outs, we also take care of that issue with respect to fueling. So I believe that whatever the issues were previously, I can't say that they'll be gone completely, but they have been substantially reduced. So I just wanted to actually acknowledge Nelson and Aria, because they worked diligently to get that done very quickly for me, and I really appreciate that.
I have a couple of questions if I could break in just for a minute, Yvette. This is Patty.
Sure.
Just real quickly. First thing I wanted to bring to your attention is the credit card statements did not get moved over from Dropbox to Google Drive.
So if you could just get those moved over, that'd be great. Then second, did you or Charmaine prepare a spreadsheet or a list or anything of all the credit card accounts that are still incurring charges, not from the card, but late charges and other penalties or interest or any charges? And then also, I think, a list of the gas keys that are still out there, basically kind of a master list of who has them and what amount of gas they're allowed to have and all of those details.
Okay, the answer to your question, so the first one is AP is working on that listing of the specific credit card statements and what interest is being incurred and what the actual late fees are. Second answer is Delson has or is developing, I don't know which one it is, the document that will specify exactly what key belongs to whom and what amount of key they're allowed to use. So you should have that by Friday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll make sure that the document is transferred into Dropbox. I'm sorry, into Google Docs. And it's good that you all discovered there are other documents that you either had access to and no longer have. You can send me a list that we can make sure that those are, I guess,
We can repopulate. I've got several that I've noticed that I've not been able to. Yeah, so I'll go back through and.
Update on organizational chart. I believe that chart has been provided at the last, and I believe that it should include all of the resignations, deletions. There have been no additions since the last organizational chart was provided, but it will include the. And resignations and other condition deletions. I know, Patty, if I may, I know you asked for specific information by way of the police department
yes.
As far as the organizational chart. Did you receive that?
I did. Thank you very much. And as far as I know, I've gotten all of the updated organizational charts, and I appreciate that.
Okay, I have it on my list. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Provide already list of operational items to merit. We'll have an offline meeting at some point this week, hopefully, so we can get that done. We've had several conversations, but we haven't quite gotten to the specifics of that yet, but we will have that meeting. Hopefully, you'll have time sometime this week to have that meeting with me. Update on camera installation at fuel stations. Nelson. It's operational. It's being fed into where our other cameras feed, which is the police department for monitoring. I'm having them shake their heads along with my chief, so that's what's going on. So thank you very much, Ms. Nelson, for an obvious suggestion, but a suggestion nonetheless for the list. So now we are up and running and we have eyes on our fuel station. Status of vendor negotiations. I believe Patty touched on this a little bit earlier. We are actually in the process of, when I say we, I really mean Dent, is actually in the process of reaching out to various vendors, actually the vendors who we believe we owe the most to, because right now, of course, the AP list is still being finalized. And I have personally spoken with two of the vendors who have agreed to allow us to roll up, if you will, our current amount owed into a payment plan as long as we do our best, and that was the wording, do our best to remain current. I'm still hoping to get a little bit more out of those negotiations, but as it stands right now, at the very least, we would be able to begin making a payment in September and then have everything from the payment due from August through August before to be rolled into a payment plan, which we include, of course, in the 5-year plan. Vince is working on the list of the top 10 vendors we owe money to. Initially, it's a phone call, and then, of course, it will be memorialized. And as soon as finance is completed, have completed the AP list, still the remainder. One of those, again, it's kind of everything we're doing right now kind of hinges on the financial documents that we're in need of. So as soon as that list is completed, I guess he'll continue along the list in terms of the remaining anyone out of the first 10.
This is Patty. Are you keeping a log of all of the vendors to whom you and Vince speak and what the results of the conversations were?
No. I've kept notes on who I'm speaking with and what the conversations resulted in. And I presume that's an actual log where we actually have it in a neat format where it can be reviewed. No. But I'm sure that won't be difficult for us to do.
I think starting now rather than later is probably a good idea because people are probably going to have questions about what were the results of those conversations.
Not a problem. Let me just say this, that some of the information may not be able to be made public as a result of some of the vendors acknowledging that they would rather not set a precedent in terms of a free-for-all, everybody coming in to try to negotiate the funds that they're owed. And so some of the information may not be readily accessible in terms of a public document, but I guess can be provided to the board as necessary offline.
So I guess you could say what you're saying is you would not create a document that said that information?
I've spoken to one particular vendor whose concern is that they don't want to set a precedent with other individuals or entities that owe them money in terms of being able to negotiate the amount. They're willing to negotiate because they recognize the situation that Overlock is in, but they don't want to make that a widespread policy or procedure. It'll be on whatever document, whatever communication that I have will definitely be on the list, but there may be some indication, to be discussed offline or something to let you know that it may be a term of the agreement that the vendor has asked for us to keep confidential as much as possible.
Okay.
Well, I'm not aware of exemptions unless there's imminent litigation or some other. Can you speak to that?
You're correct, and that's why there are no logs thus far because anybody can have a public record request. One of the steps to negotiate the process, it would be done in a final document that would be memorialized in return of the condition of the settlement that is reached to reducing the debt obligation itself. So I understand the need for transparency. And want to get the best negotiated rate. Have to honor the request of our credit to that place. Once we've got to that place, then we can memorialize it. Put it in line. Everything has to come back for approval either by the committee or by this body. A spreadsheet of the status of all discussions and negotiations where it permits.
Patty,
that's all I have right now.
Excuse me, can I ask if Tyson is in his phone?
It sounds like someone is typing with their phone, transmitting that noise down here. Would you please, if you're not participating, put your phone on mute? And again, don't put us on hold. Please put your phones or check to make sure your phone's on mute so that we can hear and have a real positive exchange of information amongst each other. Thank you.
Patty, were you asking a question just before that?
No, I was saying that I'm through for now.
Okay. Do I need to call on Jack to weigh in relative to advice relative to the public records exemption?
It's up to city officials to conduct themselves according to the Sunshine Law and public records. There's no advice I can give to them. Vince is a capable attorney to advise them to comply.
Duly noted. Thank you. Okay, Okay. Where are we? I just lost track. Oh, number eight. That was it. Okay. Thanks. All right, number eight. Update by Vince Brown relative to litigation with creditors, renegotiation of labor agreements, and update on fiscal impact of the bid protest.
As to provide expense associated with litigation regarding creditors, we have reached out to two of our major creditors that we're currently in litigation with. We've made offers to them to resolve their debt. Neither one has responded as of yet. We will continue to pursue them in terms of getting the debt resolved so that the board knows and so that the commission will know that we're proposing payment with anybody by January 31st of 2017 to allow for the envelope tax dollars to come in and to be able to meet that obligation. In terms of actual costs associated with it, with those, we have three cases currently pending in litigation, and the city's exposure thus far, I believe, in terms of billable hours, is less than $10,000 for all three cases. In terms of renegotiating the labor contracts, I think we spoke very in-depth about that earlier. Nothing remains and nothing changes in terms of the fiscal impact on the bid protest. Mimi Turin, who is a skilled arbitrator and mediator, her hourly rate for bid protest is $150. Her average bill for mediation is $2,500. We asked for and was given approval for a budget of $6,000. I believe that we may come in somewhere between $2,500 and $6,000. So I propose about $44,000 where we should come in at on this bid protest.
Any questions? Any comments? Okay. Thank you. Next item is agenda item number 9, and that is an update on the specific task assigned during the last meeting and committee update. Let me recognize Christian Weiss, Tallahassee, over the phone. Christian.
Yeah, the only thing we're working on right now is looking at the budget document that Charmaine sent out last night, looking mostly at the revenue side. Otherwise, no further updates.
Okay. Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let's see, the first one, the Cairo Lane, I think that, as my daddy would say, that horse is glue right now. We're going to meet out there Thursday and see what we can do and try to come up with a interim solution to try to give them some relief out there. Invoice approvals. The committee, the contracts review committee met yesterday, and we made a recommendation. I have a motion, and I will read the motion, and then I'll supply that. I'll send that in so you don't have to worry about getting it down verbatim. But I'm making a motion to approve the recommendation from the Contracts Review Committee on August 29, 2016, authorizing the payment of selected invoices submitted for consideration by Opa-Locka Administration in the total amount of $257,781.16. That is the total of the ones that we approved. So that's the motion. If we can get a second, then we can discuss it.
Do I have a second?
A second. This is
Bernie.
I second.
All right. What I did was I went back through all the items that we approved, that the committee approved yesterday, totaled them up, and the total amount, even though some is coming from water and sewer, some is coming from general fund, and we talked about getting a split on that today to provide for us today. We know what those amounts are. We talked about that yesterday. Because some of them, even though you gave me a list of, or gave us a list of water and sewer and general fund, there was also the list of those other invoices, like the Herc rental lift install cameras at the fuel depot. I don't know if that's going to be paid out of general fund or going to be paid out of water and sewer. And so, but the total amount that we approved is the $257,781.16. So if somebody wants to know more specifics that wasn't that attended the meeting yesterday or was listening in, we can go through the individual invoices that were approved, but what I've got here are the invoices that that we approved yesterday for to come before the board today. I'm just trying to expedite it if we can. If somebody wants to know something in particular, we can run through them, whatever the pleasure of the board.
I think we can do a vote.
You can go ahead, Frank. You have made a motion?
I made the motion and it was seconded.
And it's been seconded. Are you ready to vote?
I'm ready to go.
Those in favor acknowledge so by saying aye.
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 Aye. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. Review of the finances on the CRA. The last meeting that I had with the administration, with Yvette and Charmaine, we spent most of the time going through invoices again, which is, you know, takes quite a bit of time. I do have some information they provided me on the finances of the CRA. It's kind of a pretty dormant operation. There's still some questions I'm not sure of, so we got to meet on that again. The inventory of all the city properties and review the lease occupant rate. We've been provided some information. I need to meet with staff on that again with Evelyn to go over those and get some questions we have cleared away. And review the trash collection programs. I think that's pretty much in limbo right now with the bid protest that's going on and not wanting to step into the realm of the commission so that they can do their business. But I mean, I think that there's an offer on the table that certainly needs to be seriously considered when we look at the cash flow problem. And I'll just make a suggestion that if the city does have to go into an emergency operational mode, that they take a strong look at the letter that Waste Management has sent and try to consider to move this thing along. That's a considerable cash influx if that's able to happen, whichever method they want to go through that's legal and so forth. I'm sure the city attorney will make sure that that's good. So that concludes my report, unless there's any questions from anybody.
Any questions from anybody? Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and give my report. It's pretty simple and pretty pretty common, but it's at the same time very, very active. When we first started to look at the water and sewer building collection and its process, saw quite a few areas that were vulnerabilities, as I would call them. And that's what caused me to ask the county to bring a team over to look at the process as well and make recommendations and bring quality sort of like processes to place, to put in place. So I haven't back looked at it, but a report has not been made, and it's not final yet, but a report will eventually be made by the county with some recommendations. And I know that Merritt has been looking at it as well through David Ritchie, who was here earlier, and also in his report itself, it shows a few of the things that can be changed to make it better. And that's items one and two from my report. And with that, the FDLE operational assessment of the police department is still ongoing. I'm scheduled to meet with the police department tomorrow at their budget meetings and meet with them as well when they meet with the PDA as well on Thursday. To look at the contracts and some items within it that has fiscal impact. So these are sort of like the status of my reports after this meeting. I'm not sure, Board Member Collins, I guess up in Tallahassee, would you, you have anything you'd like to contribute?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair. Just wanted to give a quick update on the research. 2 weeks ago, I was asked to sort of start the research on the funding of the pension and the health care costs. I focused first and foremost on the FRS analysis, the pension portion of those two assignments. I've had several meetings with the director of the Division of Retirement here at the state level, who runs the FRS system, as well as meetings with the Inspector General of the Department of Management Services. The good news on the FRS side is that I believe the analysis shows, again, we've seen some of the late payments. Some of our payments coming from the city to the FRS have incurred late charges. I believe there is a statutory provision that we are researching to see if some of those fees cannot be waived. There's at least a one-time waiver administratively through the Division of Retirement, and I've asked the director to follow up and try to get back with me about how we go about actually exercising any waivers that could be available. So there's at least a potential that that some portion of the late fees could get waived. And again, that's not a whole cloth solution, but every little bit helps. Some of the original analysis that I did shows that on average, those late fees can accumulate up to about $2,500. So a little bit there on the FRS. Sort of the flip side of that coin is on the FRS pension side, there really is not an a la carte menu. You're either in or out, and once you're in, you really can't get back out. So the amount of cost savings to be found in a lot of further FRS research is probably not great. So next I'm going to move on to some of the healthcare costs. And I think I know time is valuable down there, but I'll be touching base with Opelika staff and probably trying to tie that healthcare analysis and any reductions of cost there back into the staffing plan. So at the end of the day, all that walks and talks together. But on the FRS side, we've done a little bit of work. One thing that we probably should highlight is Department of Management Services Inspector General has kicked off an audit on the FRS review. So I believe they have made a data request, another data request of all the city staff. So hopefully that will be able to get back to the Department of Management Services sometime later this week. So just a heads up for staff down there that that DMS is still anticipating some of that data on how much FRS payments have been made. That covers the last 2 weeks. Really, I have not had any more dealings with property appraiser or anybody else in Miami-Dade County government. With that, unless there's any questions, we'll certainly move on.
Any questions? Board Member Milken.
Hello. On the first item regarding follow-up on the 2013 audit, I spoke with Charmaine, realized that the name of the CPA firm is Marcum, M-A-R-C-U-M, not Malcolm, and she was not able to provide a whole lot of information about the reason that that audit did not get completed. The city manager and the finance staff that was on duty at that time when that review was being done are no longer on staff, neither do they reside in the city. So Charmaine was going to reach out to the CPA firm to ask them to contact me and see if they would give me an update on the status. And in the meantime, I'd ask Charmaine to provide me a copy of the contract with the CPA firm and copies of any paid or unpaid invoices so we could kind of see what work, if any, had been done on that project. And so I'm still, we talked on Friday, and I'm waiting on that information to be provided. Just wanted to make a little comment here that with all of the work that's being done, Melinda talked about the budget document that had been presented. Even with all the work that Charmaine and her staff are doing, she has always been responsive to my request for information. So I do appreciate the fact that she finds time to squeeze us in with some of the items that sometimes might not be quite as critical as the budget and making sure the bills get paid. So just a shout out to her and her staff for that. The second item is the update on correspondence with Mr. Harvey from HCT. None of the audits at this point are in progress. As you know from yesterday's meeting, the $721 invoice that had been submitted was not approved for payment. pending some additional documentation or the addendum to the contract that would approve those types of services to be provided and that payment to be made. Mr. Harvey is also submitted a request for the $6,000 that's due for the work to be done on the UWS agreed upon procedure. It's not an audit. It was where they had asked him to go in and perform certain procedures. After his conversation with the vendor and an email from Ms. Harrell indicating that that project should stop and concentrate instead on the financial audit, nothing else has been done, but he is expecting that $6,000 payment that was supposed to be an upfront fee from the very beginning of the project that he never received. Thirdly, he's requesting $20,000 as a retainer to perform the 2014-15 audit, the one that's currently under contract. I asked if he would be willing to renegotiate his contract fees. He indicated that he had negotiated pretty much down to bare bones initially with the city manager that he dealt with at the time his contract was initiated. So there was not a lot of more room for him to negotiate. And he wants the board, in order to be able to move forward with this audit, he wants some assurance from the board that there will be payments made. He would like a payment schedule with payment amounts, and if he could get some assurance that the board would ensure that that schedule was held to, then he would be willing to move forward with the audit. I had requested that he speak to Chair Melinda and possibly to Frank, who is the chair of the Contract Review Committee, to plead his case, so I'm not sure if that has happened or not. Any questions on either of those two projects?
This is Frank. I've had no contact with Mr. Harvey.
Okay. Melinda, have you heard from him?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the status on those two items. So the third item was regarding the potential services needed to be completed, to complete a review of the bank recs and the validation of the cash and forensic audit. I followed up with on looking at the state term contract, kind of looked through it to see they do have provisions in the state term contract for financial and performance audits that could possibly cover acquiring services for a fee for doing and validating bank reconciliations and validating cash. They don't have in their scope of services under that contract forensic auditing or accounting services that might be needed to do some deep dives and validation of the numbers for the board. But the FICPA does have a validation and forensic accounting section, just like they have one for local governments, that we might be able to reach out to determine who would be interested in providing services if it came down to it. I think with all of the other people that are providing assistance to the service services to the city on a pro bono basis, then that might be something that we can keep in our mind in case it comes down to actually paying for services in the near future. On the reaching out to the League of Cities for volunteer services, same kind of thing. I think that with the folks that are coming in, I think that's pretty much covered, and that also covered that part of it about the quotes on the state term contract. Any questions?
Ms. Mills, this is Yvette. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about this audit or lack thereof. I know that you have been in communication with Mr. Harvey to whatever extent that you have. And my question to you is, based on your communication and your understanding in terms of where Mr. Harvey is and including his responsiveness.
Um,
You still there?
Did we lose the locker?
Oh, hello.
I think we lost the locker.
Oh. Did we lose them?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Falaka's still there? Linda? Hello? Somebody texting her to let her know we lost her? Hello?
Yeah, we're just waiting. They're dialing back in, Kim.
Okay, thank you.
So we keep putting ourselves on mute as per the instructions.
Are we back online?
You're back.
I hear you, yeah.
Very good. Continuing in that
vein. I lost you at about the third word, so can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, sure. Quite simply, I'm asking, in light of all of the circumstances and in light of the dire need for an audit for various individuals who are asking for it, what would your recommendation be in terms of the audit firm, to continue with this audit firm or perhaps to seek another firm?
Well, in light of the comments that were made earlier by, I think it was Mr. Ritchie, a big part of the issue is that the records have got to be in a shape to be audited. So until that happens and until maybe we can come up with a conclusion, I mean, we can come up with some kind of settlement or agreement with Mr. Harvey, I'm not sure if it's worth moving forward if you don't have anything for him to start on right now, but as soon as it is, then we need to move forward. Charmaine had indicated that she was using some of the Miami-Dade County people to help her get the records in better shape, at least to the point where she can make adjustments that might be needed just to make sure they're as accurate as possible, because she's going to have to close out the 2014-15 year financial records by the end of September, because the accounting system won't allow her to have 14-15, 15-16, and then open 16-17 for the financial records. So she's working trying to get that done so that the records, the financial system, can shut down 2014-15. So it kind of depends on whenever the records are ready, then we need to be ready to move forward with an audit, whether it's with Mr. Harvey or some other firm. But he did not indicate that he was pulling out at any point. He did mention that if by chance it's later in the year when the city is ready to be audited, then he will have to figure out how to work it with his other clients and projects that will be starting up at the end of the year for their 15-16 audits that they're ready to have started. So there might be some logistics on his part, but that's my input.
Yvette, I know we talked on Friday before this meeting, kind of getting ready to cover these agenda items, and I had asked you for a recommendation as to your impressions of moving forward with the HCT. Do you have an impression that you can offer at this point? I'm concerned about several issues that have been raised with respect to the previous audit and with respect to this audit. That concern is enhanced by the fact that there's a difficulty in communicating for whatever reason, and then communication is not constant or consistent. we need to have an audit done, and although I recognize that there's been the information that is necessarily needed to perhaps start the audit or complete the audit remains wanting, I'm really concerned about this particular auditor or this audit firm, only just from the standpoint of concerns that have been raised by members of the county who reviewed some of the audit reports, as well as concerns raised by other individuals who've also reviewed the audit reports. And to piggyback off of something that I think either one of my commissioners or a board member said previously, perhaps it's time to go in a different direction since we're looking to renew Opa-locka generally. I'm not confident, quite frankly, in the information that's been presented in the audits previously. I'm not confident in the notices that have been provided with respect to the city's financial conditions within the audit. My recommendation would be, at the very least, to look into the potential of another audit firm and see, for lack of a better word, what else is out there. In order for us to get Opa-locka back on the right track, it's imperative that we begin with accurate information. And based on what I've been advised of by individuals who are far more learned than myself when it comes to numbers and analysis, I don't necessarily think that that this particular audit firm is the firm that we need to continue with. It has to go out, I believe, for RFP anyway. Coming up, so it's just a matter of, I mean, because I think according to Charmaine, we have to put out an RFP for 15, 16 anyway, and I'm just not comfortable with the work product thus far, and my recommendation, all things considered, my recommendation would be to look for another auditor, but I don't know if that would take us back in terms of our timeline in order to find another auditor and then get them kind of up to speed. So I do know that there's an RFP that's going to go out, and hopefully from that we'll have a new auditor. But as far as this particular auditor is concerned, I think my answer would depend on how far back it would put the city in terms of being able to provide an accurate audit for this year or for last year.
So this is really something that's going to come up before the commission.
Is that correct?
Yes,
well,
So in terms of this decision as it relates to a policy call from the commission, is that something that's going to come up in the September 14th meeting for decision?
That's something that we can discuss in the September 14th meeting. It had not previously been, well, just in terms of history, there had previously been an RFP that was issued that had some issues with the actual RFP itself, which said to me that there was a potential for a need for a new auditor, and hopefully it'll come up in discussion. It just hadn't been raised before because I just don't know if the commission was fully aware of all of the concerns. But of course, the more we dig, and when I say we, I mean everyone who's actually looking at the financials, as well as the audits, the more concerns that appear to be raised. And in perfect candor, the fact that we're unable to reach Mr. Harvey is disconcerting to me. I mean, even if he's not working immediately on our audit, he is our auditor. Not being able to reach him, a little concerning.
Okay. From an oversight perspective, just note that 218.391 on auditor selection procedures apply. I'm sure you're aware of that, but there are certain statutory requirements relative to auditor selection that you'll want to consider in your procurement. That said, if it's got a fiscal impact, of course it needs to be reviewed by us for oversight and compliance. I'm a little concerned about the fact that we've got a couple of things in the works that are waiting on this audit. So I certainly feel your pain relative to whether the
whether or not it sets us back in terms of time so far that we're unable to satisfy either the bank or others in terms of that compliance requirement, joint legislative auditing committee, other stakeholders. So we'll be watching for, hopefully you'll have a recommendation from the commission level to your next steps. And then if it's got a fiscal, we'll certainly take a look at it and evaluate it from an oversight compliance perspective.
Melinda, this is Kim, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Is your concern about being set back time-wise just because this auditor's been doing the city for so many years, he's got a little bit of background knowledge, or is it because of the work that he might have already done on this audit?
It's my understanding there's been very little work done, I think, is that correct, Sherman?
He's done nothing on these audits. Okay. FY 1450.
So I guess my concern is really from a resource perspective on the city, if the records aren't ready for audit, the burden it places on staff to try to scramble to get those documents ready for audit, and then if there's any delay or expectation by like the City National Bank to provide those financials, we're kind of in a catch-22 where, or a rock and a hard place, I'm not sure which cliche fits the best for this particular set of circumstances, but it's difficult to produce, and yet there's a whole lot of obstacles in order, in the way to get to production. So I look forward to seeing the policy recommendation moving forward from the commission. Anybody else from the panel want to talk about this issue?
I do, but
yes,
I'll wait for my turn.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I know this contract has been in the works for a three-year contract, a five-year contract. Are we going to make sure we comply with the termination clauses in order to pick someone else up? And I don't know if the Florida State statute allows for this because there are strict standards. But was there a second firm? Like, did you rank from 1, 2, 3, and can we step back to the second? Is that a possibility? So those are just the options. Yes.
Okay. This contract with this ACP is for 1 year. Yes. And then we were supposed to look at another go out and see.
Madam Manager, since you mentioned concern about the RFP document that went out to secure these services, I will share. The City of Miami Gardens went through this not too long ago, so I will share with you that RFP document. So.
Frank, do you have an RFP document? From North Bay Village that you think might be something that would be a best practice or a benchmark that they could use for your auditor selection?
I don't know if you can even piggyback off for an audit off of somebody else. I don't think it's allowed. Right?
I don't think it's allowed, but to set the standard in their RFP.
No, I mean, I can certainly provide the RFP that we used. We change auditors every 3 years as a regular, they do 3 years. The last one we did an extension for a year within the contract at our option if we wanted to go another year, and I think the commission did exercise that. But now this time we're going back out again for a different auditor. I mean, it's just get a fresh pair of eyes to look at things.
Madam,
but I can provide that to them.
Madam City Manager, members of the Commission, and Vince Brown, City Attorney, consider dismissing your CPA for non-performance. An option. Matter for consideration. We don't have to debate unless you want to.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Do we have If the commission makes the decision to move forward with a different strategy or same strategy, whatever, that we'll be able to hear that from the 14th and Thank you for taking that up. Okay, where are we now? Board Member Bernita Nelson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Quickly, the fuel audit, I knew that Opa-locka staff were in conversation with the city manager in the process of refining access to the fuel pump that is available to employees and everyone else who has vehicles or equipment that needs gas. Now that that is in place, we will bring over probably mid-September our fleet manager to just look at the numbers that are coming in. But I think what you did is a yeoman's job. It should have been done a long time ago, actually, but glad that it's being done now. Part of, not necessarily audit, but just the security aspect of it, we as a board approved, I think it was $500, and just as Nelson has indicated, the security cameras are up and functioning and being fed into the police department and monitored by the police department. So if there are any questions, we should be able to look back at those things for the state. The review of the draft budget, that was completed. That was disseminated to all of the board members. It was disseminated to Mr. Thurheim last week when I met with him briefly. I received David Morris's, when he was introduced to us on yesterday, I received his email. I sent our comments that were sent to everyone. I sent those to him as well. So our review, our initial review has been done. And now that we've received the draft, the first round, we will do that. I will do that in tandem with Ms. Morris. We don't want to step on each other's toes and have all these reviews going on and Charmaine, you know, hitting different directions. So we will try to figure out a way to consolidate that. And I think Ms. Morris will probably take the lead from him. Gas key. I think this screw-loop era, it actually is the P card policy. P is a purchasing card policy. There was a concern that had come to us as the contract review committee because we had to sort of authorize paying some of the credit cards, and that process came to bear on how the checks and balances are being done. I shared the city's P-card policy with both Charmaine and Ms. Arrow, who I'm sure is going to share with her procurement manager. There is not apples to apples because we use a different system, but I think some standards can be put in place and borrowed and put in place. And we are willing to come over once they start to go through that process. I know it is just as important, but not dire right now, but we're willing to come over and review that draft policy whenever it's ready. The lawn maintenance contract review. There were several contracts that were brought to the contract review committee, in which I am the co-chair. There were some questions that were brought up with this lawn maintenance services that around contract amounts, contract approval, from commission in, from city managers in, and scope of work. I at the time mentioned that I felt that we could realize some savings if we negotiated, and I think the lady who may be the president or the owner mentioned that she would be willing to negotiate. And so I share with the city manager, we in the city of Miami Gardens have streets and medians and parks, just as Opa-locka does. And we have two entities that are taking care of our streets. One is taking care of our streets and the other one is taking care of our parks. So it's not apples to apples, but there is some substantial something we can take away based on what we're paying and what they're paying and what Opa-locka is. It was made mention that it was made mention at our meeting in the contract review that there was the Department of Corrections that at one time took care of the landscaping here in Opa-locka. And we, the city of Miami Gardens, have four landscaping crews from the Department of Corrections. I do understand from the city manager and talking to her that there have been some past concerns about the supervision of the inmates. And that's just that. I think there's some supervision, you know, perhaps there's some things that can be put in place and contractually with the Department of Corrections just so we can realize the savings. But one of our most recent contracts that we renewed, we get a crew of inmates, and it costs us about $60,000 for the year. And we provide, and that includes a supervisor and the crew of inmates. We provide the van and the equipment. I know that your current contractor has her own equipment and her own vehicle to fleet. However, I also understand the public works has some equipment that may be able to be assigned if you decide to go this route. We have a second vendor, so that's sort of the apples to apples right here, medium to medium. And, you know, when you look at the city might be gone maybe three times as large as might be able to negotiate. You know, it's keeping that relevant. We're about three times larger than Okolaka. We're at 50 maybe, so you might be able to realize some of the cheaper savings. Then there's no, well, I'm just quitting. I don't want Mr. Riley to come up here and say, listen. The other one is the Greater Miami Service Corps. We put out, we have a need, we scale back in our maintenance and our park staff. We actually have 16 parks and 4 pools. Our internal park staff maintain the fields that are used for football and baseball because of the frequency that's used, and we just need people to stay on top of it. The other park, passive park, the Greater Miami Service Corps takes care of those on a schedule. So there's a schedule for the dry season and a schedule for the rainy season. But, and they take care of about 11 properties for us, and if I read this correctly, it's about $45,000. They bring their own crew and their own equipment. I do know that we have called them out on emergencies. They've been available to us. So say somebody has a football game and it's trash and we need somebody to come out, you know, if they're in the area, they'll do it. So they've been pretty amenable. So either we can look at this, Madam Manager, and look at piggybacking on these, or we can go back to the current contractor and try to negotiate and see how we can come down from price.
And Madam City Manager, too, there's something that I might be able to bring to bear from a state perspective, opening the door with conversations with the Department of Corrections. If I need to approach the agency head to work with you, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Actually, with respect to what Ms. Nelson has indicated, I've spoken with the current vendor after conversation with Mr. Rollison, where I was under the impression that we were going to pay her through the date of the last conversation with Mr. Rollison. And I'd asked her to reduce her cost to the city. And she agreed at that time to make a reduction of 40% of the cost. That was the last time I spoke with her. However, it needs to be said that since we are now not going to pay, or there's a question about whether or not we pay, I'm not sure how amenable she would be to maintaining that 40% in light of the fact that the original information that she was provided is now different. So I wanted to actually just so we're all aware of what she was willing to do, at least on a temporary basis, because I did advise her that because there have been so many concerns about the actual agreements that we would actually be sending it out again for an RFP.
Let me comment on that for a moment. It's not that we will not pay her. It's the mechanism of how this contract has been led that brings the questions. And then that this board would then ratify that action and say it's okay and just move forward. So what I have recommended is that you take the package to the commission, and if they want to ratify the past action of the whoever the administration was at that time that took those actions and say that they will approve those payments to be made, I got no problem with pushing them forward. There's no doubt that she's done the work. There's no doubt that she relied upon what she was told. But there's no doubt in my mind that the way those contracts were, the one additional that was added on, and the way they were divided up to begin with was to circumvent the bidding process. It's obvious with the amount of money that this contract is that it needed to go before the commission. It's all like work. It's not like it's because you pick up the mower and you move over to another avenue that now that's a new contract. And that's what was done, and it was kept so it was below a certain price. At least that's the appearance. So I think if the administration presents that to your commission, and the commission says we ratify those actions, and we get that resolution that they approve that, we send that to the board with the invoices, and I'll recommend they be paid.
Right. I understand what you're saying, Frank. I'm just letting the board know that the 40% may no longer be on the table. Since the last time we spoke, we had agreed that as of that moment going forward, we would pay her based on the conversation, and that anything subsequent to that would need to be given to the city at the discount. I'm simply saying now, in light of what you're saying, which I understand what you're saying, but that's just a different message. And now she's going to have to wait even longer. And so my statement was simply to advise the board that the 40% that I just advised the board of may not necessarily be on the table until she's actually received payment.
I understand that, but I don't think as a businesswoman she's going to walk away from it if she's able to cut that 40% and still make a profit and then get paid the back money that she's owed with the commission ratifying the actions taken by the administration. I don't think she's going to wander too far.
Well, that might be something. Well, I hope you're right. I just hope that we're able to maintain her services in light of the fact that I've now given her information that she can't rely on.
Well, you can blame that on me.
And then have her come see you in North Bay because she's going to come up to my office.
Certainly can. easily accessible.
But when you talk about the 40%, just keep in mind the other decisions that I did give you and see if that is fair enough for the city, you know, if you're on them.
And we also talked about putting it out to bid again, and now the bidder comes and says, oh, I'll drop it 40% to stay.
No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We are going to put it out to bid. However, the process between having the board approve of an RFP and actually getting the RFP back, I don't want the streets to look
so she's willing to drop the 40% just for that period of time, too?
She's willing to drop the 40% for that period of time.
That ought to tell you something.
That tells me that she won't drop 40%. All of us are doing whatever we need to do to try to keep Opa-Locka alive. And based on her relationship with Opa-Locka, I believe that that's why she's doing that.
So as far as the next agenda item, I believe we still have Marie Walker. We don't have you here, but I want to make sure that I don't jump over you. Are you still on the call? Board member Walker. Okay. Merritt
Stierheim. You have Angela Nectar, or is she not on there?
Angela, you've already gone, unless you have something else.
Oh, I'm sorry, right. Okay.
I don't have anything else to add.
All right, thank you, Angela. Merritt?
Yeah, it's on.
I don't even, but I'm prepared.
The memorandum that was distributed speaks for itself, and I hope that you have an opportunity to read it. If you haven't read it, it was distributed by email, I think, this morning, and some of the discussion today has bordered on issues that are raised in the memorandum. I talked about how did this happen, this crisis that we're all grappling with now. And it certainly didn't happen overnight. It has taken years to get where we are today. And it's been worsening, I think, pretty steadily, at least from my observations. I don't think the criminal investigation that is going on by the FBI is any indication of the problem. at least so far. We've talked a lot about audits today. Everybody wants to talk about audits. I don't know how many people have read the last several audits. Almost like to see a show of hands of how many people have read. Well, I know some of us have. And in 1996, when I was interim city manager in the city of Miami, and the city of Miami was facing bankruptcy, we did a cash flow analysis, and the city would not have been able to make payroll in October, in February or March, and this was in October and November. Pretty serious situation. It was an $88 million shortfall. I recommended and we fired the auditor, external. The external auditor is a protection for the elected officials. If you have a corporation, you have an external auditor, and that's protection for the board members, the policymakers. It's also an asset to the president, the manager, whoever, in the internal administration. And we sued the auditor, and it's a very prominent firm that I won't mention now, but you've heard of them. And I think there was a settlement. I thought it was a $10 million lawsuit, but I think they settled for $1 million. I would say that the problem that has taken some years to develop it is primarily because of a breakdown in ethics, accountability standards, professional management. Managers have come and gone, been fired or whatever. And I think in fairness and respectfully to the elected officials present, the city commission shares in that responsibility inescapably because you have oversight responsibility, governance, not something you can just blame on anyone. It's a, call it a climate. I read the audits, and I quote from them in the 2011-12 external audit. They found 5 material weaknesses, and a material weakness in an external audit is not to be taken lightly. It is a very serious charge. I know as a manager or in the private organizations that I've run or public organizations, I didn't want to see one material weakness. The lesser finding is a significant deficiency, but even that is not something to be ignored. Well, in the 2011-12 external audit, there were 5 material weaknesses and 9 significant deficiencies. Pretty serious situation. Then we move on to the 2012-2013 audit, external audit. It's far more serious. And I quote from the audit on page 87, quote, deteriorating financial condition. Quote, if financial conditions continue to deteriorate, the city may require state assistance, which would then be deemed a financial emergency under state statutes. Now, that was in 2012 and 13. You didn't get the audit until close to a year later, but could anything be more clear? The audit further identified, like the one previously, many other material weaknesses and significant differences. Now you get to the next paragraph in the report, and because of a miscommunication between Charmaine and I, which I think was very innocent on both our parts, I misquoted the year of the audit because we did get the 2014-15 audit. I didn't realize that. We didn't, I mean the 2013-14 audit, I still get mixed up with these years, but I apologize. But the substance of what is in here doesn't change one iota. Because in the next year's audit, they said the same thing again. They raised the flag. And they said the deficiencies have not been correct. Let me read what they said. For the year ended December 30th, for that right year, from the auditors, which states that the audit recommendations from the 2013-14 audit pertaining to budgets and deteriorating finance have not been implemented. Nothing that was recommended been implemented. It says budgets are not being, quote unquote, budgets are not being adhered to, Mr. Manager and Ms. Manager, budgets are not being adhered to, properly balanced, being utilized by management. And then they flag again the thing. So it wasn't a secret. It was coming on. And here we are. Here's the Oversight Board. Here's the City Commission. And we're trying to say now, how can we get out of this mess? That's what we're dealing with. I think we have a catch-22 situation. I want to talk about my recommendations, but we have a catch-22. Charmaine is very professional, educated, swamped. You heard it from Mr. Ritchie. We're worried. We don't want David, we don't want people coming in. I had a guy coming in one day a week to come in, a finance director, and I didn't want him to go talk to Charmaine because she's so busy and she doesn't have any staff, and I don't want anybody cluttering her up. I've tried to stay away, and I got a lot of questions. She needs help. So here we are talking to cut down on expenses and so forth, at a time when we need professional input. You need professional support. Got a brilliant guy back there in David Morris. He's pro bono. But you're going to have some boots on the ground. And so I'm glad that CFO Atwater is going to send down some troops, but that's a couple of weeks away. I don't know when they're going to get here. So that's a bit frustrating. Now, we talked about water and sewers. And thank you, Mr. J.D. Patterson, for having the wisdom to request that the county water and sewer department come in and take a look at it. David Ritchie is a CPA, so when he stood up here and told you that the books are not auditable, that's pretty serious. The books are not auditable. I'm sorry, I'll get it right up here so you can hear it. So you go out and hire an auditor, what are they going to audit? Because the books are a mess. I'm not trying to paint a black, dark picture, but I mean it's realistic, and we've got to be realistic here. We've got to have a partnership. We can't play the blame game. I mean, the people on this oversight committee have been busting their butts, trying to do this and trying to do that and so forth, and some of your staff are doing the same thing. And I'm really worried. I'm telling you, I'm worried. I told you that article in the Herald today bothered me. And if we can't present the audit to the bank, you know, yeah, we write them a nice letter and tell them we're going to hire another auditor, we're going to do this, but it might take 6 months or a year, and we can keep making the payments. Incidentally, I wondered where the restricted reserves for the water and sewer department, I've been running around saying we had $2.3 million. Now we got $1.2. Was that where those monies came from? Where did we get the money to pay the banks, the bank?
That money comes from revenue sources received from the state. They were already pledged to in those bond books, for that particular purpose. It's not related to water and sewer.
Was not related to water and sewer. Okay, well, that's good news. And I don't know where I got the impression there was more reserves, but as I understand it, there's $1.2 million in restricted reserves in water and sewer?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I've spent a lot of time with Mr. Ritchie and his team. They've got four or five people, and they've really been doing a pretty thorough audit. And I summarized some of the points in the memo, and I would read these just for a minute, and I really direct these comments to the mayor and members of the commission. Based on their review, of there's $1.9 million in water and sewer receivables. Okay? This is money that theoretically is owed to the city's water and sewer system. And about $1 million of that $1.9 million is and has been outstanding for a considerable period of time. So either those monies should be collected, the water turned off, liens put on property, whatever, to collect those monies, because we've got a problem. We don't have enough money. That's what we're all looking for, is try to find some money. And there's potentially one source. There are 5,800 water and sewer accounts in the city of Opa-locka. 2,000 of the 5,800 are manually read. And a recent review indicated that at least 50% of water and sewer usage is estimated, and they did a random sample. They didn't want me to say this, but they did a random sample, and the sample showed that the estimates were under actual consumption. Now, if that's a trend, I don't know, and I'm not saying it is. And David didn't want me to say that, but I mean, it's an indication that if across the board, if the estimates are under what they are, what the actually consumption is, there's another chunk of money sitting out there. There appears to be, catch the word appears, which is cautious, there appears to be no follow-up on return invoices. You understand what I'm saying? Invoice comes back. Is there follow-up? There appears to be none. We don't know for sure, but it's a question. There's inadequate staff and supervision over billing and collection in the department, and the same staff performs both functions, billing and collection. Like writing a check, and then the same person opens the statement. It's just kind of a no-no. So one of my recommendations, Madam Chair, and Mayor and Commission, is that we begin immediately negotiations with the city, the county water and sewer department, not to turn over the utility operation, but to turn over billing and receivables, okay? Why? The County Water and Sewer Department is a huge organization. It collects over 99% of its invoices. It's all computerized, it's modern, and so forth. This, if you approve this, and what I'm recommending is that we sit down and negotiate an interlocal agreement that can be presented to the mayor and commission of Opa-locka and the mayor and commission of the county, an agreement. It will increase your revenue, I guarantee it. You'll get more money out of the system after deducting the cost of the county staff and so forth for the billing and receivables. So it's just good business sense to do that. You'll bring in professional people that will do it. The county already does it for Coral Gables. They do it for Miami Springs, and they can certainly do it for Opa-locka. That's my first recommendation to the oversight board, okay? And I'm making it, directing it to you, Madam Mayor and Commission. Okay. Let's see what else here. I think we need to move aggressively. And I'm not saying we don't need a new auditor, because I've heard the complaints as well about the quality of the audits. I don't think you've got a lawsuit, though, and I'm not an attorney. But when they're raising that flag and they're telling you that you're, you know, in danger and your books are bad and blah, 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 they've really performed a fundamental service. We didn't have that situation with the auditor 20 years ago in the city of Miami. And anybody who wants to know that story, I'll tell it to you. Moving on. I'm recommending that the oversight board authorize whoever to approach. I don't know who's going to get elected, but I suspect it's. I think I know who it is. The mayor's office, the strong mayor's office in the county, and try to negotiate a bridge loan or some form of loan that can be short term or longer term, depending on what we can negotiate. It's going to be tough because we need the audits. It's just like a bank, you know. I mean, people are going to say, you know, can you pay it back? And how are you going to pay it back? And so forth and so on. But we ought to start negotiating those things now, because we're counting on our fingers how many payrolls we can make, right? We've been playing that game. I walked in your office the other day. You said, that's the last one. Well, then maybe, oh, well, another recommendation for the oversight board, authorize, and I'm following Charmaine's recommendation here, authorize the utilization of liquidity within the water and sewer department initially, and then use the restricted reserve in the water and sewer department, and the $223,000 restricted reserve in the general fund. All right. Step one, use the water and sewer money. And then step two, use the water and sewer reserve and the other one so we don't go belly up, because that's what we're facing. Is that clear? I don't know if I've stated it clearly, but I hope I have. I have some language in there, and I'm going to close now. We really face a very serious situation. The only reason I accepted the chair's invitation to come on board pro bono, the only reason was to help the city and the citizens of Opa-locka. I don't need any accolades. I'm not getting paid. There are other things that I could be doing that are a lot more fun at this stage in my life. I don't need another plaque. I don't know where the hell to put half of them now. So I want to hopefully be successful. And I know everybody up here, and I think everybody over here wants to be successful. But we really got to You know, and as long as you're the manager, not a manager, you know, I haven't verified everything, but I understand we got a lot of relatives working in Opa-locka. We got a lot of friends of friends working. I don't know how much, I don't know the levels of competency we've got within some of these operations and so forth, but there are no sacred cows when you're dealing with this kind of a situation. You got to have the courage to do it. You got to do the right thing, or we ain't going nowhere. And with that, I'll stop.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept Merritt's report by the Financial Emergency Board with one technical amendment relative to the date on the audit, and we'll make that correction. If I could entertain a motion to accept his report.
I so move.
Second. Second by Ben. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're going to skip over Mr. Heekin and Patty Nelson, and I'd like to recognize Vice Chair Patterson for a last other business.
Wow.
Just Melinda, this is Jack. I'm sorry. I'm not interrupting you because you passed me on the agenda. I'm asking for clarification on what that prior motion was. Are you moving to adopt each of the recommendations in Mr. Stierheim's memorandum?
Only to accept his report. We're going to accept his report. We've distributed it to the members of the commission. They are to take action as they deem appropriate on our recommendations.
Urging
them to consider those recommendations.
Why not begin the negotiations with the county? What are we waiting for? And why not sit down with Ed Marquez and the mayor and explore whether or not the city is in a position to advance? Why not do that now? And excuse me, Madam Chair, when would you plan to take it up if you're not going to do it now?
Very good point.
I don't mean to buffalo you here, and if you don't like the recommendation, then don't vote for it.
Yeah.
But let's get going if we're going to get it.
We have both Jack and Tallahassee on the conference. We have that sitting here for the city. We have the two lawyers. Why don't we get their input as to whether or not we can actually move forward right now based on what we heard?
From this perspective, I think the commission is the manager director, irrespective of whether the board takes it up or not. If the city commission gives the manager director to negotiate with the county, from my understanding on 2 points from Mr. Stierheim's report, one would be to negotiate a bridge loan with the county using tax advance notes, possibly. And number two, to pursue negotiation with the county for them to take over the city's water and sewer program from start to finish.
Just the billing and collection
right,
part.
The billing and collection. The billing and collection provision only. So that would be it. Because it's
That preserves the revenue for the city.
Absolutely.
If it's approached that way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the city commission can do that.
I don't know what's happened to your microphone.
I didn't say this, but when we go and meet, as far as I'm concerned, I would want the manager to be with us, and this would be bilateral negotiations. We wouldn't go alone to the water and sewer department or to the mayor's office. Representative of the city would join us, so we're working together. This is a partnership.
If I can put in 2 cents, what I would, and I agree with Merritt, with the urgency that we're at. I'm sure the commission is able to call a special session at whatever however it's deemed appropriate through your process. And I agree with Vince that the direction to the administration needs to come from the commission. And so from our standpoint, at least from my standpoint, what I would recommend the commission consider is to call a special session just for that purpose, to give direction to the administration, if that's what you're so inclined to do, to follow these two. But, you know, looking at the numbers like we all have and sort of saying, well, can we make payroll, but are we going to pay all the overhead expenses? You know, I noticed in this last batch of bills that I approved or that the committee approved and the board approved today, there's no ICMA invoice and no FRS was in that batch. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I know every payroll that goes out, those kind of payments have to be made too. So there is urgency everywhere we turn, even if you're just trying to keep people paid. And to lose 2 weeks to September 14th to a commission meeting and bring it up, that's 2 weeks. We're going to know probably tonight the results of the mayor, or it may very well be a runoff we'll be facing in November if somebody doesn't get 51%. But be that as it may, there'll either be a continued mayor tomorrow or a different mayor tomorrow. And Merritt certainly has access to them. I certainly have access to them. And it's easy to get a meeting on an emergency thing. I'm sure that whoever the mayor is going to realize the importance of not having a city collapse within the county. And that would be a top priority to meet and start these discussions. So, you know, Merritt, you're right on point. Wherever we can look to start to head things off, there needs to be discussions with their solid waste people. There needs to be discussions with their police department, which may already be taking place. JD, I don't know if that has or not, but people can't wait till the day that, God forbid, this place folds. And what are we going to do tomorrow? Who's coming in here when somebody calls 911 and that type of thing? There has to be some planning operationally as well as financially as to how, what the plans are. We plan for a hurricane. We plan for other types of disasters. We plan for things that we don't know are going to happen. And this administration is responsible to plan and be ready for the worst scenarios that could face this community. And I agree. We need to move forward as quickly as you can. That's my two cents.
Anybody else want to comment before I accept, and I'll modify the motion, Jack, to get to the heart of what your issue is or your recommendation. But other comments, I want to make sure that we have all have a chance to weigh in here relative to this issue. And I think I've got you, sir. I think I heard you. Question? Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Let me get Vince to bring you the microphone. I thought that's what you were doing. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Best services. They have the new meters. We don't talk about meters. So if they are doing that service, how would we handle the meters and the need for meters in the city of Los Angeles? Would they handle that as well? Would it come out of those that area?
You have. There is a sophisticated technology with a machine that's called an Itron. And I looked at it. It looks like a big X-ray gun or something. It's just huge. And if the meter at the house or the apartment or wherever it is installed properly, then the Itron connects and gets an accurate to the gallon reading on consumption, whatever. A lot of these meters, however, have been installed not in unison with the technology that this is, whether by accident, design, or whatever. Right. So the guy's driving by in his car, and there's one man that does all this reading, one employee. And he goes with his gun, and the iTron, and he tries to take it, and he doesn't get it because the two don't, or he gets a misreading, doesn't read it accurately. The city had two iTrons. One broke. Right now we got one. That breaks. You know, I don't know how we get another one, but we ought to have two.
That is what I make a reference to.
Right.
And I'm also making reference to the fact that we have non-functioning meters, and I'm making reference to those accounts that don't have any meters, okay? I'm also making reference to the fact that we have seepage within and not sewage,
right,
that surpasses what our water billing is. So all of those areas need to be addressed
in any kind of agreement.
It also takes effect with the billing and receivable in water and sewer. And future access to properties within the city that don't have access of sewage as it is.
Correct.
One other thing I need to find from the county during negotiations is why is it that we bill the county for water, but we don't bill them for sewage. And the same thing with another private property. A lot of those things have to be addressed that is not being done presently that impacts the revenue.
I think you're absolutely right, and I would emphasize in response, I didn't mention the fact that the city owes the Water and Sewer Department $2.1 million. That would also be a matter of negotiation to get a long-term payout so we don't get zapped with that one. But The methodology that I'm talking about, and maybe you'd be a good representative if the manager wants to delegate you, but hear me out. As we sit down and we negotiate this, I don't want to see the Water and Sewer Department make a profit out of this. So we want to pay what the personnel and their overhead and reasonable. We want to make sure that the city's getting a square deal on whatever they're going to charge, and they're going to bring people in that are going to run this operation. So, and then when the agreement is drawn up, it has to be approved by you and by the county because it's an interlocal agreement. And these questions, and they're valid, and you're very knowledgeable on this, those questions have to be answered.
And CITT, all of these things that the county is owed is going to come to the table when you have these negotiations. You put a package together and you say, okay, we got this problem, we got this problem, we got this problem. How do we reconcile all this and come up with a bundled package that we can sign off on, and you provide these services and we pledge these revenues and so forth and so on. So, I mean, you don't have a lot of places to turn to. County's a logical one to be talking with, and they've got the capabilities too.
Commissioner Santiago.
Oh, okay. No. Anyway, I told Larry. When I heard all this recommendation today, Mr. Jack Hickey, I pronounced very well that name, Hickey.
Hickey, yes.
Hickey, okay.
He's our lawyer up in Tallahassee.
No. Merritt Steerheim.
Oh, Merritt Steerheim, yes.
Steerheim, yeah. That recommend you tell us before. I believe that's the one or the most wonderful recommendation that the resident of Opa-locka they can listen to today. We'll be waiting for something to do regarding about the water, reading, and billing. And the reason that I say that, because I want like an elected official, I have a house here. I live here in Opa-locka. You can be, I can prove that I live here. I don't live in another place. I live here in Opa-locka, and I know how that we live here when raining and everything and deal with all this. I received bills in my house for $400 that I never received before in Bay County when I used to live in the other side. And that's incredible. I'm very sorry to say that, but more of the 75% of the meters that they installed in 5 years or 6 years ago, or they buy it or whatever, they're not working. They're not. I have complaints and calls that they call me. They say, how can they read in my meter if my meter is under the ground? Yeah, that's me, yes. I believe that we need some changes and work faster to try to collect and to make new revenue that's what we need here, do business in the city. We've been doing the wrong deals in the last 10, 5, 6, 4, 3, whatever year the resident want to say, but that's the truth. It's time to move forward. Let's negotiate it. We need something new here in the water system. I've been fighting for the last 3 years, and I'd be applauding when I bring a resolution 4-1, but I'm going to keep on fighting for that because I'm be affecting too when the water here in the great city of Opa-locka. That's a great idea, and I'm with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think we've got a question by the legal counsel in Tallahassee and some comments here that I wanted to make for our next session and share with the commissioners, but I'll go ahead and touch on those now. You know, the resolution that was passed by the city commissioners and a corresponding interlocal government agreement and the corresponding executive order signed by the governor provided this body certain authorities. And those authorities are very specific as it relates to our ability to assist the city and provide technical expertise. And it sounds like one of the recommendations, there's two subject matter experts that you could make available to you and your city if you needed to take their technical expertise with you to approach the county relative to these recommendations. You know, the agreements talk about our ability to consult with you on steps to bring you into compliance with certain oversight bodies. They also talk about the inability to enter into certain indebtedness, and to provide for cooperation and technical assistance. You know, in looking through those, it doesn't say that we step in the shoes of the commission. That said, we have a role. It's relative to oversight and relative to technical assistance and helping you through this financial emergency to the extent that we are able. So to just offer, you know, we've taken Mr. Stierheim's report. We've got a motion and a second really to accept that, but if we could maybe modify that in such a way where we accept his report to this body and agree to transmit it to you for consideration as a commission, as the legislative arm for this city, to direct staff as you decide. It's my understanding that you're calling an emergency meeting. Madam Mayor, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We are having a special commission meeting on tomorrow. The clerk has already gone out to do the necessary paperwork and everything to bring it to fruition on tomorrow. And since I'm up and I got the mic, I stood up because I'm short. All right. Mr. Stierheim, we certainly want to thank you for your report. I read it more than once, read your report, and we're going to tighten up on the things that you have said. But the two things that you did, we're going to review that, have that on the agenda on tomorrow's meeting. So we will be doing that. We thank you again. And also, too, to the board, thank all of you, Mr.
The other Rollerson. Rollerson.
There you go. I was going to wonder where you all can, but I saw the spelling of the name and also Ms. Williams and Chief Patterson. Ms. Miguel, I want to thank you again. This is, out of all of the meetings you've had, this is the, in my opinion, the most productive meeting. I think it is excellent from our standpoint. We are the commission, and certainly we have the city at heart, and we want to do it good. We stand in the shoes to get, I guess, there's a bullseye on our back, but as Mr. Sterheim said, it did not start with us. And we want even our residents to understand it didn't start with us, but we are here to fix it and get it done. Thank you again, all of you. Mr. Sterheim, thank you so much. And we're going to talk to the commission to see if you would be a part, if you don't mind, a part of the negotiation with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. I believe I made the motion, so I will accept your friendly amendment. And we can second that.
So the, yes. Go ahead. Yes, please.
I'll make it real quick.
We're not quite there for public comment. We definitely want to consider the public's comment at this point. But I certainly respect. Normally, I'm not in the room and can't see people raise their hands, so I apologize. Would you mind taking just a minute and give, and we'll move right into public comment before. I appreciate it very much. Okay, so I believe if I can try to restate Vernita's modified amendment suggestion is that we're accepting Merritt Sterheim's report and forwarding that for consideration by the commission in an emergency meeting, and we agree to provide technical assistance to the city in the special meeting. I'm sorry, I'm getting the nomenclature down. So that we can provide technical assistance to the city to negotiate those recommendations as you decide in that meeting tomorrow. So is that correct? Okay. Before I get a second, Jack, may I just make sure that I'm on a firm footing from your perspective before I get a second?
Yes, and I just wanted clarification whether we were adopting the recommendations or just accepting the report of Mr. Sterheim, but this clarifies. Thank you.
Thank you. Very, very good observation, Jack. Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second, J.D. Patterson.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. I believe that our next point of comment. Oh, I'm sorry.
There won't be a comment, even though it was supposed to be a comment to begin with, but I do have a need to make a motion. Regarding some positions in the police department. I think there's three positions they need to have authorization to move forward in filling. One is a property and evidence specialist.
And may I clarify that we recommend to the commission or to the city that they...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we would like to recommend to the city that they authorize the police department to fill three positions that they have vacant. One is the property and evidence position. The other one is a crime analyst position. And a third one is a police officer position that's been vacated recently.
Okay. And that's a fiscal impact of?
Is it budgeted?
Yeah, it was already budgeted because the people have left. These are vacant positions.
So this is counter to the hiring.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
We're just replacing individuals, right?
Replacing an individual that left.
Okay.
Right. Should be budgeted. They're already budgeted positions.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So do I have a second?
Second by Vernita.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry?
This is Christian Weiss. I'm voting no.
You're voting no? Okay. Madam Secretary, if you could note that Mr. Weiss voted no. And so the majority is in support for you to move forward with those three positions as a recommendation to the city.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. As our dignified guest and observer from the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee, before we turn this to our next agenda item 13, I would like to see if there's any observations or comments that you, Representative Rollerson, would like to make at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and I'll be very brief. One observation I'd like to make is it sounds like everybody's starting to pull in the same direction. That's a good thing to see. Mr. Holloway had talked about blocking. I think Mr. Stierheim and Mr. Morris are two of your best blockers right now. They're opening up paths for you to go through. With their ideas, their experience, and the things that they bring to the table, use those talents. They're doing, I think, great work on giving you some possibilities. So I think everybody seems to be in much better spirits walking out of this meeting and working together. Our role as far as the Joint Legislative Audit Committee is somewhat technical in that we're looking at the statutes. What is our role here? One of the things that I want to bring to your attention, and Member Rollison observed this a few minutes ago, under statute 218.504H, it requires a plan prepared by officials of the entity. Commissioners, that is you, okay? And my suggestion, it says to establish a priority or a zero-based budget and to prohibit operations sustained only by non-recurrable or non-recurring revenue. That's getting a little technical, but basically the statutes have a plan to implement in this particular scenario. And so I see my job as an observer to make sure that we're following the statutes as close as we can to find the answers. But the committee would be very interested in seeing a plan developed to get through the next 120 days. I know we've talked a lot about audits. We've talked a lot about data gathering. We've talked a lot about trying to get to the answers. Okay, we're smart people. We can get to those answers, and time is of the essence. So as soon as we can get to those answers and get the advice of these good people with the experience to help this city, I'm very hopeful, and we're very interested to see what the plan is, and we look forward to seeing it. Thank you, and good luck.
Appreciate you being here. Thank you for representing the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee and as a CPA as well. I know that that's your profession, so provide us an interesting perspective and expertise on the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee, and we value that very much. So thank you. At this particular point in time, we do have our next agenda item, and our next agenda item is for the commissioners to offer comments. We have publicly noticed, or the city has publicly noticed the meeting to protect their interest as it relates to matters that might come up. Our public notice for this body to meet is specific to this agenda that we've covered today. To the extent that we can stay on topic with this agenda, that would be the ground rules that I would like to establish so that we don't take up any items that might come up for vote for us that might be different than what's on our agenda. That would be helpful to protect us. So at this particular time, I would like to invite the members of the commission to come forward and offer comments and or questions and a dialogue with us so that we can further the conversation, answer any questions, clarify the role of this body, clarify the role of the commission for members of the public. And is there someone that would, okay. Oh, you've made your statements. I appreciate that very much. Anyone else want to make a comment? Okay, thank you. Commissioner Kelly? Okay, Mr. Kelly? Okay.
Thank you. I understand the order, so I was allowing the mayor to go first. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to share the comments of the state rep and thank all of you for being here. But I also want to just put on the record, I would hope when we leave this meeting, as I've said on this dais for many days, whatever decisions are made are fair, that they're fair, that they're fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, Mr. Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Representative and the other members of the board, I want to thank you for today. And I want to thank you for the work that you're doing and have done. Mr. Stern, we had experienced long-time managers that didn't implement those things that were required in the budget. Experienced long-time managers. As I told the board previously, this deterioration didn't happen not in 2000, it started in the 90s. And people are playing, okay? But we're there now, but we need to go another step, okay? I left in the 80s for your information. But that's what I'm saying. We can throw blame, but the problem right now is what we're going to do about it going forward. And that's where we are now. I would appreciate the atmosphere that was here today. I find it very constructive and productive. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Well, I can't be quiet. I'm very sorry, but that's going to come from my heart. And let me say that today, my eyes be opened. Okay. I'm sorry. But I have to be sure it's not with me. Myself, what I found today is the truth. Why you here? Thank you, Mr. State Representative, to be a winner today in that wonderful meeting. This is one of the first meetings that I can say that I feel so comfortable and good. And I want to say that and say that coming from my heart. You give me back my position. I feel like a commissioner, an elected official again here for the great city of Opa-locka. Because before what they tried to tell me and give me the wrong advice is we had to be scared and afraid about you. But I know you're here to helping the residents, to helping our city to get out of that mess. And no matter what, who made it, we are now here and we have to get out of that. We have to get out on our feet, and I'm here to help my residents and my city. Thank you.
Maybe I'm going to have to step in. Whoever is rustling papers, please put your phone on mute. Thank you, Commissioner. We now have our final closing for the public comment. And so now I would like to invite any members of Miss, is it Grace? Miss Grace, would you be first since I... Thank you. And Madam Mayor has the microphone. Thank you, Mrs. Grace.
Thank you, and congratulations, everybody, on a very nice ending today. I have a few questions that I should have probably asked Mr. Rollison when he finished, and I apologize for not jumping up. I still jumped up in the wrong time anyway.
That's okay.
But I wanted to ask you, because I wasn't clear as to the $257,000 that has been approved, is any of that going to GNU for the historical building?
No.
Okay. Then my next question is to Mrs. Nelson. Yesterday, at the end of the day, you started to talk about that you were reviewing the grants that were assigned to the project with the state. And I wanted to know what was the status of Grant 2, the payment for Grant 2.
Oh, sorry, I'm way back. I know. I'm going to put my first up there.
That is not Ms. Nelson speaking.
No, I don't know who that is.
We are waiting for staff. If you know, Ms. Charmaine Parchman sort of stepped in and said that they are reviewing that and getting things. So we're here, I guess you're waiting to hear back from the state because there was some paperwork transmitted for that particular one. So there are two sources of funding, one from the county and one from the state.
Right.
And we're still waiting on the state to make a decision as to what documents were submitted, if they're fine with that.
Correct, yes. So there was
Melinda?
Yes, ma'am.
Just,
This is Frances. So I feel like I needed to, and I apologize for not responding earlier. But I did call and talk to the Department of State yesterday. They had an internal meeting, and apparently the city has provided all the documentation in, and so that's great news. And again, I thank them on the phone. I also want to thank the city for working with the Department of State and getting them the information they needed. So the next step forward is that all that documentation will go to the state architect for him to look at, or her, or that department to look at. I was told that would take 3 to 4 days to review. It may require an architect to come down and do a site visit. They will know more in 3 days. But based on the information and what was completed with the project, they're anticipating, if everything looks well, providing a reimbursement of up to $151,000. That plus the $87,000 they've already received. So that's the latest I have heard on that. And my intention was to follow up within a couple of days with the department, but everything looks good, and hopefully things will move quickly so a reimbursement payment can be made.
Okay, that's good news. So to follow up that, then can we assume then that when the monies are received from that grant, those monies will be earmarked for GNU?
What I can tell you is that we will reevaluate what we can pay GMU from these reimbursables, yes.
All right. And then my next question is there a plan, or who will be responsible for developing the plan to cover the deficiencies on the project? Because we know there are deficiencies, you know, obviously. So where is the plan as far as the assignment, or how is the city going to match the funds? I'm not sure. I'm really lost as to who's responsible for that, or was, or if they can explain it to us.
I would say the city is responsible for that.
Can you guys comment about the 2016 budget for the project, or is there some disclosure that might be helpful, or answer that might be helpful to Ms. Gray?
Well, tentatively, we do have the project budgeted in the 2016-17 budget.
Okay.
Now, as we work through the budget, we'll see where we stand, because we do want to get to a balanced budget, and so I'm not saying that we're fully funding it, but right now we're looking to fund it.
Okay, very good.
And as far as payments that are old, is there any possibility that, I know Mr. Mayor Sternheim stated about assessing the reserves, could part of the reserves be selected for that, or?
Maybe that's a question for Mr. Brown. I don't know.
As the resolutions were drafted, the answer to that question as of today is no. So the resolutions were specific as to what the reserves could be used for, and it wasn't for a capital improvement project. Is that accurate? Okay. But it sounded like that would be revisited in January 31st by before. Maybe I'm reading something into what your statement was, but please forgive me.
Good one.
The resolutions as they stand to utilize the reserve funds, they only cover specific purposes.
Right.
And unfortunately, to pay GNU for work that's been done on Old City Hall is not an operational expense that would be covered under those resolutions.
However, I think Ms. McGill was talking about what the possibilities were come January. I understand. I'm well aware. Thank you. So as of January, actually, we will revisit if necessary, how we're going to make those payments. We have absolutely every intention to complete Historic City Hall, and we actually are looking forward to the completion. in terms of priorities, though, as far as the city is concerned right now, it's not something that we're able to do. Having said that, though, we've committed, Charmaine and myself, to at least partially funding the dollars that are required to match, and then hopefully, depending upon how the revenue comes in next year, we'll continue to finalize those payments for you.
Okay, and this is for, I guess, for the talking about the remaining part of the project versus the.
I'm talking about the entire project.
Okay.
Meaning right now, as Mr. Rawson said, the monies that were just approved were approved for other purposes outside of GND. And I believe probably going forward, at least for the interim, that may be the case as well. However, like Ms. Parchman said, there is an allotment in the budget for partial payment of the amount that's owed to you, and we will look for other revenue in which we can make those payments.
In the same way, does the reimbursement of the county funds fall into that plan?
Well, again, as we've explained, the reimbursement is just that outlay first from the city's funds, and then it's the payment back from the county. It's actually a deduction of some of the, I think there's a retainage amount that, so we really don't get back the entire amount. That's first of all. Secondly,
Linda, this is Jack. Sorry to interrupt. This line of questioning is more appropriate probably for a city commission meeting, and this is not a notice city commission meeting or one of the budget meetings.
Thank you, Jack.
All right.
Thank you, if you don't mind bringing those up at a regularly scheduled commission meeting. I appreciate your comments and your questions very much. So, Frances Coyle from our Office of Policy and Budget, when she and Patty Nelson were down visiting the city, toured your lovely building or the city's lovely building with your work on the inside, she was very impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's been a lot of work done, and she was able to tour that facility. And she had, Frances, I don't want to speak for you, but
it was a lot of work that was done. It was just, I appreciate the city, you know, opening up the gates and letting us go through. I was very impressed. So was Patty. And
I was very impressed.
It really does help when you talk to the state. They talk about deliverables, have they been met, have they not been met, and you could actually see what was done. And a great deal of work has been done.
And I know that Frances Coyle really opened the door with the Department of State union negotiations so that the grant monies would continue to flow to the city. So it is a story of hope, even though it's not immediately resolving your situation. But like Jack Keegan said, we're going to defer this to the full city commission meeting. And thank you for being here today, and thank you for your interest. And you've been here all day, and appreciate your patience. But thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Other members of the public, we'd like to hear from you. Yes, please. I met you, but I don't remember your name or who you're with, so if you could introduce yourself.
Yes, good evening. My name is Jason Neal. I'm with Waste Management, Inc. of Florida.
Hi.
You have a letter before you. Before I address the board, I just want to confer with the city attorney. Is there any problem with me addressing this board as far as cone of silence or any issues like that?
Well, this is Jack Heekin, counsel for the board. This was not an item that was considered by the board today. So it would not be into our work at the moment. We do have your letter. It's been submitted to all of the board members for their consideration, but at this time it probably wouldn't be appropriate to discuss this new item.
I concur.
So we can deviate from that topic. All due respect, it's a legal issue for us.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The letter was really nothing new. It was reiterating what was already submitted to city back in Maine. So I'll give it
a pass
then.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for
your comment.
Others?
Mr. Barrett.
Yes,
good afternoon.
To the board, as a citizen, all your meetings have been very good. We appreciate you very much. And you're doing great work. Help this community. Let me say that this problem started in 1984, and it stopped in 1986. when Dr. Eagle was the mayor. Then it picked up again in 2002. I have all the orders and resolutions when this financial problem started with the city. Next meeting, I will bring copies. Also, it hasn't gotten any better with the finance of this city. So that is the truth. Let me talk about the contract. One of the major problems with the contracts in our city is that they have to do personal service for the commission. I'm not just talking. We have the proof as citizens to back it up. Even my opinion is that I don't know how some of the commissions could even vote on the contract based on the service, the personal service that they've done for. I don't think that's a problem. If you go back also the next item, if you go back to June of 2015, look at the payroll of the employees when the financial task force looked at the problems. And we said that we had problems then. You will be able to see that instead of the salary decrease, the increase. So that means we didn't improve from that time. Let me tell you about the last three managers. Every time a manager on the dais said that we cannot spend this money, the majority of the commission would say, find me the money. I want to do this project. It's like they're telling the manager, go in the bank and dig a hole. And there's some money back there. Give it to us. If you go back and check the record, you will see many times they say, find me the money for my special project. We have a budget to follow. The blame is not on the staff of this city. It's blamed at the top. Commissioners. Now, I might not agree with Brown Law Group all the time, but I do agree that if you're going to pay an attorney $22,000 a month, let them be the attorney, not the commissioner. If this commission will follow the attorney, if something go wrong, then they could blame the attorney. Their job is big enough that they need to stay doing their own job as a commissioner, not do that. Also, when the city manager talked about water cutoff, she talked about residential water. I don't hear anything about commercial water being turned off. That didn't happen. So I wrote it down. The problem in this city, cut the citizens' water off first, and let the corporate water stay on. That's not fair. That's not an equal opportunity for our citizens. If you cut the citizens' water off, cut the commercial water off also. We're asking this board, please look into that. It's been going on for a long time. Now, Mr. Stern, I like the idea or that they kind of help us with our water billing. That means we as citizens fear that everything will be done fair and that everyone will pay their water bill. I went to court on the friends and family plan, which I won the class action lawsuit. Instead, it decreased, it's increased with the family and friend plan. The records speak for itself. On park and recreation, Miami Lakes have a unique system in park and recreation. They use a lot of volunteers to make their parks work. Miami Garden have a unique system that we can implement in our city. In our parks, because the finance of this city, all departments have to be looked at in order for we to get back in good terms. Now also,
in the last meeting, we talked about some school taking about $3,000 a month. It was brought to my attention that they might have filed bankruptcy, so you need to look into it, and that the amount might be up to $11,000 a month, that the money that they have coming in. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm waiting on the documents. Now, we as citizens, when we stay at a meeting this long, that means you're doing something good. And the problem that even you approve this manager, I don't see her able to do a job because the commission is going to dictate and not allow her to do a job. The backdoor dealings in Opa-locka have to stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
Good afternoon, board. Alvin Burke, and I hope y'all enjoyed y'all lunch. That was on behalf of the citizens of Opa-locka. That's to show our appreciation for you being here. First, I would like to say, you know, when you go to an AA meeting, you can't really get cured until you admit. You have to admit. Our elected officials want to blame everybody but themselves for the condition this city is in. I have seen Mr. Harvey come to many meetings and tell them, you don't have the money. You have to do this. You have to do that. You don't have the money for this. But they continue to roll. They continue to roll. We know we don't have the money, but we moved out of one building and moved into another building and spent almost $500,000 in a building that the city didn't even own. These are our elected leaders' decisions. These are the kind of decisions they have been making for our city. We have to blame ourselves, too, because we keep putting them back. So we're to blame as well. We keep putting them back. But enough is enough. Enough is enough. When we look at our city, this could be a great city, beautiful city. But our city at one time was known for the city of parties. Every time you turn around, we didn't have any money. But we had parties with junkanoos. I mean, star-studded parties, red carpet parties. And they knew we didn't have any money. We didn't have any money, but everybody wanted a new truck. The city went out and bought new trucks. It has to stop. Well, I guess it will stop now. I guess it will stop now. And with our citizens and our parts, I mean, with the kids getting killed the way they're getting killed now, our parks can't be shut down. Our parks should not be shut down. Our kids need our parks. But our elected officials allowed our city to get into this despair. And then they get up here and they blame everybody but themselves. They want to put the blame on everybody. And it's not fair. It's not fair. And yes, we're mad. We're mad, but we're also mad at ourselves because we were duped. We were duped to keep putting them back in there. But no more.
Thank you, Mr. Burke.
Good afternoon. My name is Mr. Brian Dennis. Resident in the city of Opa-locka, been here since 1986. There were some things that I seen that I wanted to touch on, and I want to start with the first thing that Mr. Rollinson touched on about the water cutting it off on the weekend. Mr. Rollinson, that's how I came to the city in 1997, because my water was cut off on the weekend. And I was in the backyard taking that water with a PVC pipe because it was cut off on the weekend after I got off from work. That water bill was $300 a month, and it was two people in our house. It was higher than our mortgage at the time. So when you wonder why we have a problem with the water, it's not nothing new. Mr. Barrett is right. That flea market and other commercial entities that owe this city, like back child support, should be in the millions of dollars that would bring this city out of the debt situation that is in. So to cut people water off on the weekend, I am not in favor of that at all. I understand what needs to be done, but I'm not in favor of that at all. Mr. Ryan is not here, but I really appreciate what he said. Because for the audit reports for the last 5 years, 6 years ago when Commissioner Kelly left office, it was in the $8 to $10 million surplus. Nobody wants to talk about that. It is what it is. I'm at every commission meeting. I'm at every commission meeting, I'm at Bible study. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So when you have three people that vote the same way and do the same foolishness with past and former commissioners, this is the end result of it. This is not nothing new that's going on. The contracts with Milan, that contract, Sternheim was dead on the money with it. Mr. Wallace, you were dead on the money with it. Deal just as shady as a tree. Just as shady as a tree. The contract should have been voided. The employees that was laid off behind it, that's probably losing homes and lost cars and probably got some type of bill they got to pay like child support or going to jail because of foolishness with backdoor dealing with our commissioners. And they know what they sitting up here doing. They know what they doing. See, I'm not one of them preachers that's going to come up here and hobnob because you a preacher. That's not me. You get the real deal. The Bible say, worship God in spirit and truth. And it's the truth. And the quick quote is 1 Corinthians 15:33. And here's what happened with good people. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habit. You have people that come in the office that say that they want to do the right thing, but somehow somebody get them behind a door and trick them, and all hell breaks loose on every citizen in the city, and we have to pay for that. We want to go back to something Ms. Nelson addressed with the Prisoners at Work program. I used to be an inmate. Used to be an ex-felon. That's like slave labor. And I don't have a problem with it, but I have a problem with it because the loss of jobs that's happening is coming from them five sitting up there and them three that vote together that allow the other two, like Commissioner Kelly and Holmes, always on the losing vote because of some foolishness with the commissioners that's sitting up there. I want to give you all top respect for saying no to somebody saying, respect me and give me back my car, and these people, these employees, are losing their jobs. How selfish can you be? How selfish can you be? And you wonder why the New Times had her on the front page in a red dress with money falling out of her pockets.
Mr. Dennis. Thank you.
No.
Well, remember what we're trying to do.
I understand what we're trying to do, here's the real deal of it, Mr. Patterson, and I know we know each other very well.
Yeah.
These things need to be out in the open. You need to find them. You need to handle them. And the only way, and I understand what's going on in Tallahassee is considering the Article 4, which is removing all our commissioners. Yes, we know. We know who called in the Tallahassee. We know the whole nine. But this type of foolishness that's falling on low-level employees is because of the three votes that consistently do this every other Wednesday of the month. And it has to stop. My last thing. Madam Manager, I'm going to give you what God gave me when I spoke with Mr. Fender at the library 2 years ago. The scripture clearly says what it is. You can sit back though with those three votes. You can sit back though with those three votes, but just as sure as Shiverton and the rest of them in jail, they'll flip on you.
You have a law degree. You are a very intelligent woman. Fact. Every time the city has went into bankruptcy, it was Commissioner Kelly that was the head of it that pulled us out. That's your go-to person. That is the person that you need to sit down with, regardless of any issues. That's the person that can teach you how to manage.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
To the board, Ed Brown. I'd just like to briefly address what I've seen here today. This is a total 360-degree turn in terms of how the treatment, the dialogue, the dialect, total disrespect has gripped this room here. How innuendo, inaccurate statement, personal feelings have permeated a lack of trust for people that really have a willingness to work in this city. Growing up on 22nd Avenue, who my mom had to raise five of us in the drug hole while my dad was in prison. I'm here. I've been here. I slaved in this city here for 10 years before I ever got a contract, before I ever got my first paycheck. I put countless young men in college. I put countless young men in the NFL. I went and spent money out of my pocket to help families that were in need. I don't have a desire to take anything from anybody. And at the same bequest, I don't want to be denied anything that I've worked for and I've earned. I'm glad that the policies that have been changed today, because when I read that six-page document, it did not show me or give me the understanding of what I was seeing here in public. Some of the things that were being done were restricted by the agreement because you were outside of the structure. The governor put his signature on that document for a reason. In the first paragraph, when you get past the whereas call, it says all obligations, current and those that will become due, must pay. And the last time I checked, nobody sitting up here is the governor. I've heard Ms. Yvette fight, and I thanked her yesterday, but she shouldn't have to defend me. I was in front of this same body 2 weeks ago. I have called Mr. Rollison several times. I've emailed him. And in this public, I publicly asked for a meeting with him. I told him whatever report he wanted to write or needed to have written, I was prepared to do it. I don't have a problem with whatever he has a problem with. Mine is not perfect. And Section 7 of my contract, it states that I can only perform my duty based on what is given to me by that manager. And any contract and any contract law that you ever want to read, and I'm talking about in contract 101, anybody who are party of that agreement can change that agreement without it being a right. That's basic contract. He was talking about things that was done in the meeting yesterday prior to him even coming here, and prior to that executive order ever being discussed or signed. So the thing that I have done, I have a document here. Today you all approved $257,761.60. This document here alone says $280,000. Based off a report that was put in to the property appraisal office. When I worked and all of that stuff that was said about Mr. Cook and trying to make Mr. Cook comparative to me, we were sitting right there together because we were part of the manager's task force that was out here given the endeavor of going out and making sure that debt was collected. That's a part of my contract. I made countless recommendations in terms of how to do two things that I haven't heard talked about until today. One was revenue, and the other one was economic development. I haven't heard that being spoken to you. But recommendations were made for that. But I guess those were overlooked by conjecture, supposition, and personal feeling. I'm not about that. I'm a professional, and I appreciate professionalism. I don't know whether or not, and it was discussed yesterday, and it was recommended by the city manager, by Ms. Nelson, that my outstanding obligation should be paid, my invoice. Being that that power has been subverted back over to the city manager and to the city commission, I expect for those invoices to be paid. It's due. And I do want to say in closing, the last time that Mr. Rollison made a decision, policy decision, broke rules and regulations, everybody here is not perfect. It cost a 20-year-old girl a life. Have a good day.
Hello, Natasha Irvin. As people that know me know that children are my weakness. I love children. I love children. And I'm saying that to say I want to thank Mr. Holloway for the coming, and I had a nice talk with him outside about doing some things for our kids. Because to me, here in the city of Opa-locka, children don't matter. Children does not take a preference here. And with that being said, our parks have a big budget in park. Our payroll is high. But I think that we're going to have to sit down, or somebody needs to sit down and look at the fact that a lot of people that's on the payroll in park and recreation don't work in park and recreation. They're not here. They're not here. So that's why our budget is or our wages are so big here, because they're from other departments. They're not park and recreation. And I would also like to say that the football that was donated today to the city, I would like if it could be housed here at Shirbundi so that our kids could see it. Because I have a strange feeling that down the line it'll be on eBay to sign football. And if Ms. Harold Woods meet with some of the people that are here at the park every day, donate their time, volunteer their time without a paycheck, to sit here with our kids, it would be appreciated. On game day, we had our first game last week, you have to literally tape our kids' uniforms together. You got to bandage them together so they can get out there and play football. The same thing with our girls. We fundraise around here like crazy to get money so that our kids can play ball and look a little bit decent, or we can get some of the things that we want our kids to have. We have to pay. Last year, we paid completely out of our pocket to send our kids to the Super Bowls and send our kids, our girls, to competitions where we had two teams to win the Super Bowl, but we were never acknowledged by the guys. That wasn't important because our children don't matter here. We had cheerleading teams to go and place first and third place, first place, third place, and one in the Orange Bowl, and then first and second place in another, but we were never acknowledged here at city commission meetings because our kids don't matter here in Opa-locka, and I've been saying it and saying it and saying it, don't matter. We don't matter. And it's hurtful that we don't matter. I would like to know, if possible, we have a swimming pool that's sitting out there. We have commissioners and other members of our community that worked really hard to get that swimming pool out there for our kids. The boosters saw it the other day, and we decided that if somebody could let us know what's the monthly cost to have the pool man come and clean this pool every day, we will fundraise the money and see to it that that pool is cleaned so that if our children want to swim one Saturday or Sunday, that pool would be available to us. Thank you. I think that's it for now. Ms. Harrell, if you would allow us to sit with you and maybe talk with you about park and recreation. Those of us that volunteer, we would love to talk to you about park and recreation and our kids that live here in our city, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Evelyn Barrett. I'm a retired police officer with the city of Opa-locka, and my concern is for the police department. The police department is my heart. I was there for 30 years. I worked off duty. I worked the street. You name it, I did it. I didn't have a problem with it. The officers working off duty to supplement their income, okay? The pay is not all that great, but it's the paycheck. And the officers work off duty for extra cash and for extra of whatever they want to do with them. My understanding is that the Back Blues, the Garden Department, they have off duty there. Yes, the Garden owes a part of money. They haven't paid the officers. But on your last meeting that you had, there were several officers' names that was on the list to be paid. From my understanding, those officers have not been paid. And you all agreed to pay those officers that was on that list, and they have not been paid. So, to say this, the officers, I know about the Back Blues. They're not the safest place to work, okay? They go out and they chance their lives like they do every day. Every day they get up, they put on that blue uniform and that badge on their chest. They don't know if they're coming back home to their families, to their children, to their wives, to their mothers. Police officing is not a, how would I say, it's not a safe job to be working. I did it for 30 and a half years, and I'm proud of it. But the officers that are out there risking their lives back in the Back Blues, those that don't know about the Back Blues, it's not a very safe place to work and not to live also. A lot of things goes on back in the Back Blues. So if possible, can you look into those officers' names that was on that list that did not get paid, for them to get paid? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Hey, anyone else? Anyone? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. One more.
I heard Janie Russell, 1210 Parish Street, Opa-locka. I heard you all talk about the hurricane and the possibility of laying off, having a shortage of employees. But I remember a few years ago that we had a task force here made up of county employees. They came in and did some training for us as residents so that when hurricanes and emergencies come about, that you already have a team of people that you can call on, and you don't necessarily have to call on employees all the time that were trained in that, in those particular areas, mm-hmm. that they would be readily available. So if we can look into that during this hurricane season, you have citizens that were trained. So you have a lot of citizens that have come up and talk about volunteering their time. So you do have people that are willing to do those things. So if you all would take that under consideration during the hurricane season, if we could get the training, because I know we went through it before with Miami-Dade County and fire rescue, and they took us through the whole, I think it was like a weekend or 3 or 4 days of training. I think you remember, Bonita, she was a part of that. So if we could have that again and have those citizens trained and readily available to come to the aid when the hurricane or even just windstorms and things. You have a lot of seniors that live in the communities that can't get out and, you know, you can take resources.
Thank you, Ms. Russell. Anyone else? You know, you bring up a really good point, Ms. Russell and Ms. Irvin and others. Forgive me for not calling you by name, but that's exactly the spirit that Brian Holloway was talking about, coming forward with solutions and ideas. I mean, you just brought the C-CERT or the CERT idea to the table. Ms. Irvin brought the idea of sitting down with the city manager to get some volunteers, talking to Mr. Holloway about some youth programs. Or that's exactly what we need, more of that. And I'm just calling out those two because those are the two last right fresh in my memory. But, you know, having the citizens reach out to us and provide solutions is extremely helpful to us. So I will work with my colleagues that are here on this panel based on their local connections and then partner with the state connections that I might be able to bring to bear and Mr. Sierheim with his county connections, and we'll follow up on those recommendations because, you know, that's the heart of Opa-locka is the citizen engagement with suggestions and solutions. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank the members of the commission today, again, for allowing us to come into the gates of your city and to be here and provide some constructive criticism and technical assistance and maybe best practices and recommendations to you. I appreciate the swiftness in which you received Mr. Sterheim's report. I mean, you received those recommendations and immediately acted to go call a special session for tomorrow, and that really demonstrates a lot of leadership from my perspective. I want to thank the members of this board for their time and commitment, and the staff from the city of Opa-locka, the amazing work to prepare for this. I mean, the time's away from your jobs to work with us, to get ready for a meeting, to prepare for a meeting, to staff the meeting, to be able to answer questions on the fly is not simple. And so I really, as we close today, I want to thank you. Thank you, Representative Rollerson, for your support and your assistance. I want to thank absolutely, and CFO Atwater's staff for bringing in some accountings. We'll talk about that observation from Mr. Ritchie. You know, we've joked that we're the all hands on deck team, you know, and I think that it really, really is true. We can block some for you so that you guys can make the score and you guys can make the touchdowns, and hopefully we can help you do that with our oversight role. So I don't know that we have anything else to comment on. Colleagues, anybody from Tallahassee? Chief, thank you for being here with your staff. Appreciate it.
We're good from Tallahassee, Melinda. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this meeting, for working with us, for the constructive criticism, advice, counsel, hard work. And I look forward to our next meeting. I know we've got to set a next meeting. I want to be responsive to your results so that we can take up your issue in the same fashion. Yes, sir. Okay. So that we can, so if you'll allow me, yes, you have a question? Yes, what's your question? Yes. Awesome. Right. Sure. I would enjoy that. I would enjoy. Yes, sir. I'd also enjoy meeting all the employees. You know, we've dealt with several of the employees that have been remarkable, hardworking folks. So, you know, I told you I fell in love with this city, and I really, it's a gem. 90-year-old anniversary this year, and God willing and a miracle, maybe we can make this. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And all in favor. Thank you.
Aye.